A speaker today is Meredith, and she'll be sharing her experience, strength, and hope on the topic prayer. Thank you, Meredith.
Thanks, everyone. Hi, I'm Meredith, chaos creating codependent, overeater, sugar addict, adult child, and living in the grace of a growing personal relationship with the God who I completely don't understand, day by day. And when I sat in prayer and meditation for this topic, it could have been called step 11, but I sort of want to come at this from a step one point of view, because a lot of us are in step one in the workshop, the Friday workshop right now. And we've had a dose of reality in the physical craving, getting honest with ourselves about what the physical craving looks like. And for me, as a chaos creating codependent, it's really been a raw and challenging experience of getting honest about the extent to which I was disconnected from my body, and the extent to which I was telling myself all kinds of lies about how I was going to stay safe if I stayed disconnected from my body, disconnected from my emotions, and definitely don't have any needs, definitely don't share, don't reveal that I would have any needs or any emotions. And that's how four and 6 year old Meredith thought she needed to manage her safety at that age when adults were chaotic and she was little. So we're about to go into the mental obsession, and I'm about to get really more intimate and up close and personal with how completely demented my thinking has been, you know, how completely unhelpful to 4 year old and every year old me, and especially 56 year old me, my thinking has been. So in order for me to have survived step one, I needed a prayer life. I needed a prayer life in step one, and I needed hope that God reliance was possible. Even though I didn't know how to do that, I was the only person I could ever depend on. If I couldn't take care of it, it wasn't going to get taken care of. And so this movement that this work and the steps and the book and the fellowship and especially God supports and pulls me through from self-reliance to God reliance, I need some God in step one to have the heart and the stamina to carry me through step one. So on page 86, what my experience of this book, and there's old timers in our fellowship who can tell you really inspiring historical history geeks, AA history geeks who can tell you all kinds of inspiring stories. But my experience of this book is that it's the kind of sacred text that gets downloaded to humans sometimes from where, however that happens, from the divine to us. And so it's an instruction manual. It's like a living teacher. It's a textbook, but for me, it's a living teacher, which means every time I come back to it, it reveals something new and different to me because it's alive. So on page 86, there's this in step one, I don't get how I'm supposed to pray to something I don't know and I don't understand. And I also have a lot of negative association with, quite fairly, you know, from a logical point of view, some of my negative association with God is I grew up in the Middle East. I come by my negative ideas, honestly, right? I saw a lot of murder and mayhem result happen in the name of God. And so, like, how am I supposed to have a prayer life with something I don't understand and I don't really know how to pray to, and I'm not really sure I believe in, and what I know what I don't believe in, and a lot of that gets referred to as God. So in my codependent mindset on awakening, page 86. On awakening, I think a lot about the 24 hours ahead, right? I am totally into thinking about the 24 hours ahead. And my thinking upon awakening, and this is something I discovered in step one, which I didn't realize I was doing this. A lot of stuff I recognize in step one, I had no idea I was doing, right? I wouldn't have been able to tell you I was doing these things. But the honesty that step one brings me shows me that upon awakening, I scan for what's wrong. I scan for what's wrong with me, what's wrong with you, what's wrong with the situation, what needs to change, what needs to be different, what needs to be different about me, what needs to be different about the situation, what needs to be different about everybody else. And that's what I wake up thinking about, right? So what page 86 is giving me from this sacred download is I feel like this is God's manual to me about how to have a relationship with God. It's like God knows that I don't know how to pray. I don't know how to be in a personal relationship with something so vast and infinite and divine as God. And so he's giving me 1, 2, 3s, or God. It's funny, I don't usually use he, but anyway, he or she, God is giving me instructions here on exactly how to do that. So, but what the Big Book Awakening process invites me to do is ask myself, how does this relate to me? How do I relate to this? How does this relate to my life? How is this speaking to me? Because what my ego wants to do is say how I don't relate to this. Like, yeah, I don't need to think about the 24 hours ahead. That's a hot mess for me as a codependent overthinker obsessor. But if I ask God, how do I relate to this? Then it becomes for me, and it becomes whatever it becomes for you. But for me, it becomes on awakening. Let me turn over my plans for the next 24 hours ahead to God. Let me surrender to God the 24 hours ahead. And before I begin, I ask God to direct my thinking. So this is such a message of hope to me. And in my step one experience, which being serving as a step guide for a homework group is putting me right back close in contact with my step one experience, right? I get to stay close and connected to my step one experience through that process of being of service in that way. So what this is telling me, what I'm hearing here, is that God can direct my thinking. I don't have to be the director of my thinking anymore. That is a burden I've been carrying very poorly. And this is giving me the hope that I can just ask God to direct my thinking. I especially ask God to free me from self-pity, dishonest, or self-seeking motives. Under these conditions, I can employ my mental faculties with assurance. For after all, God gave me this mind. God gave me this brain. God created this person. So this is another message of hope. I think, you know, as a codependent, it's my alcoholic style thinking and my alcoholic style behavior that this book is speaking to me about, right? And so it's easy in step one when I'm so confronted by how much dishonesty that I didn't even know I was completely engaged in. Dishonest with you, dishonest with myself. I wasn't intending to lie to you. I was being so dishonest with myself, I didn't even know I was lying to you. How is that mind going to get recovered? Like, I can't see it. I can't see how the thinking that has caused me a world of hurt in all my relationships, how that is going to get recovered. And what I'm hearing here, what I'm hearing here is that prayer. It's by prayer and connection with God and reliance on God that my brain comes back to its original state that God created it in, which is my thought life can be placed on a much higher plane when my thinking is cleared of self-reliance, when my thinking is cleared of the idea that I have to figure out what's wrong.
5 minutes, Meredith.
So in thinking about my day, I almost always have self-doubt and indecision in my codependent style, right? But here I can ask God for inspiration, an intuitive thought, or a decision, and then I can relax and take it easy and not struggle. And this is where I wanted to share with you. And then I'm often surprised how the right answer comes after I've tried this for a while. So this is telling me I'm going to be surprised. I can relax and take it easy. I can ask for help. And I can even ask for help. The liberating thing I discover in my prayer life in BBA is I can ask for help about anything and everything. I can ask God to help me with my relationship with God. God, I don't know how to pray to you. God, I don't know how to be connected to you. I don't know how to feel your presence. I don't know what a personal God is. I don't know how to be in a personal relationship with you. Show me. Help me see, show me, give me a new perspective, show me what you want to show me. And then I can relax and easy and not struggle. So being surprised about how the answer comes, this is okay, 3 minutes. Let me give you the quick version of this story. So I was asked to I have my most heart-wrenching amends left. I've completed all my amends and I have two amends left. It's my nearest and dearest and most heart-wrenching amends. And I have been asking God for a new perspective and an open heart and an open mind on these amends. And I had the grace to relax and take it easy and be like, okay, God, I don't know what to do with these amends. I really want a new perspective and I offer it to you. And then I put it in his hands. I put it in God's hands. And I got the intuitive guidance to connect with a friend. And actually, so the way it started was I was supposed to speak, share at a meeting that some of you were at that my internet died and I wasn't able to share at that meeting. And I had a full day of meetings scheduled, and I had to cancel all of them because I had no internet and they were all on Zoom, right? And so I was like, okay, God, what am I going to do with this day? And God was like, go to the beach. I was like, really? Just like none of that's like, just cancel all my appointments. Internet's dead. Go to the beach. Yep, go to the beach. So I go to the beach, and a dear friend is offering a watercolor class. And so I take this watercolor class, and my difficult amends with my ex, I've learned to do a lot of stuff on my own. I'm the codependent who went right from my parents' house to my first marriage when I was 19. That was 22 years, 6 month break. My second marriage was 12 years. So this is the most I've been on my own in my adult life. And I have not been able to learn how to have fun without my ex. My ex was super fun, and every time I try to have fun, I just get lonely and sad, right? And so I had so much fun at this watercolor class. It was so fun to paint with colors and amazing group of women, beautiful by the beach. I come home and the next day I'm overwhelmed by grief. And I was like, God, what is going on with me? Like, how could I just have this day of fun and now be in all this sadness? God was like, you're moving on. You're letting go. And having fun was the last thing I needed to teach you. And now you're ready to make these amends. And so I wrote my amends letter. My amends letter I knew was going to take me days and 5,000 edits, right? I sat in an hour and God said, just say it directly. Don't explain. Just say all the things. And I did that and I wrote it. So the answer can come in such surprising ways, like the internet dies, God says, go to the beach, have a fun day, and then a wave of grief. And then all of a sudden, all this movement on this amends that I've been waiting. I've been in step eight for an entire year on this particular amend. All of a sudden, it all moved. And why? Because God surprised me by canceling my internet one Saturday. So thanks for letting me share.
Well, thanks so much, Meredith. Beautiful share.